Arizona's news station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So our buddy Bram Resnick over at Channel 12 News got a hold of a story, and I want to make sure to give credit where credit's due, about some proposed changes in science standards, the science standards that are being taught in Arizona public classrooms.
Yeah, we've got the school superintendent, Diane Douglas, is looking to rewrite some of the science standards. Now, that's okay. We should always go and look to make our curriculum the most up-to-date,
sure,
relevant to our students. I have no problem with changing standards whatsoever. I do have a problem, though, at some of the changes she's looking to make, Bruce.
Teachers say they were shocked when the words evolution and evolve were crossed out of their draft. The deletions, apparently the work of Republican school superintendent Diane Douglas.
Okay, so taking out evolution and putting in...
Superintendent Douglas believes a version of creationism should be taught in tandem with evolution. New science standards for schools could leave it up to teachers to decide.
So the standards were a team. It was, they said, about it was a couple dozen, three dozen Arizona teachers, all of them in the science field, some of them with doctorates.
They're the ones writing the new science standards, and I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, they're doing that. And Diane Douglas came in with a red magic marker and started crossing words out.
Words like evolution and evolve.
This is redonkulous on a variety of levels. Science is what it is. I'm going to keep using the quote because I love it. It's true whether or not you believe in it. Don't care if you believe in gravity. Don't care if you believe that the world is, the earth is round, is a globe. You don't have to. I'm not telling you to believe in it. You don't get to teach your crazy part in school, though, that the earth is flat and gravity doesn't exist. Just because you believe it, you bring some science that backs it up, we'll have that discussion in a science class.
You want to talk about some science? Well, one of the science teachers that was on the board drafting these new science standards that haven't been updated in almost 15 years. Let that sink in a second, okay?
So they needed an updating.
Do you think? 15 years. But this science teacher said, okay, this would be like not teaching gravity in class. We wanted to get your take on it. 602-200-2733. These science standards are being developed right now. You can continue to comment publicly up
Another
until May
week,
28th.
Right? Yeah.
We tweeted out the link where you can do so at Bruce and Pamela. We're going to tweet it out for you again there. So you can leave your feedback at that link and be part of that public discussion. But wait, hey, you can be part of the public discussion right here on the Bruce St. James Pamela Hughes Show. So
absolutely,
we wanted to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? Here's what you're saying on our open mic line.
Hey, it's Mark from Levine. I'm Catholic. I believe in evolution. It is obviously science has proven it, but I'm fine with it. I think it should be given to the teacher's discretion in tandem, so it's not contradicting and saying one is above the other, but just say this is a point of view. Being taught other points of view is actually a good thing in school instead of just having one way so you can actually make your own decision.
No, wait, because they're not even, for goodness sakes. Really? Should we teach that the earth is flat on the same level as the earth is round? Because let's make people make up their own mind. No, one is a fact, the other is not a fact. We should teach facts in class.
In science class, for sure.
Especially in science class, and not provide some sort of equal equivalency to theories that are not proven and not facts.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where if you want to have and share in different points of view in government class, right? Because you may not agree with the policies of this administration. That's a government class.
Absolutely.
And I'm all for sharing different points of view so that people can reaffirm their own and understand somebody else's.
Opinions on works of literature.
Sure.
There is not an always or a never or art history. Okay, great. Science is science. It's either proven in a fact or it's not. There is no, hey, what about? It doesn't exist.
Hi, I'm Julie from Phoenix. I believe science needs to be actual science, and if anybody wants to teach theology in school, it should be an elective course on religion. And why not teach all religions, not just Christianity, which they think is what's focused
on. All right. Well, the open mic line is brought to you by Carol Royce, the leader in Arizona real estate. We'll get your home sold guarantee or she'll buy it for cash. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
Yeah. If you want to teach theology, knock yourself out. In Gilbert, they have like a seminary class and something. That's great.
It's an elective, right?
It's an elective.
Yeah.
It's not a requirement.
No problem.
And it's not presented as the plausible alternative to science class. No. Again, gravity is real. You don't have to believe in gravity. The fact that you're not flying through the air right now is proof gravity exists. Sorry. It just is. When the apple fell from the head and hit Newton in the head.
Hi, Michelle from Queen Creek. I do not like the idea. My family is not Christian, and so my son would have no idea what is even going on in that classroom, and I would not be able to answer his questions.
Yeah, there is that. That would create a really interesting conversation at home for some families.
Bring your religious theories into a science class any more than you should bring them into a math class. Like math is, I think, the same way. Two plus two is four. You don't go, well, there's some people that think 2 + 2 = 5. Let's put them on equal par.
But real quick, Bruce, have you seen the way they're doing math right now?
Well, I couldn't do old math, so I doubt I can do new math.
Sometimes you're like, wait, how did you get that?
But this is, we had a senator the other day on the Senate Science Committee. This is not a, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was an Onion headline. He had a theory about rising sea levels. Do you know what he thinks rising sea levels is? It's not
climate change.
No, because he's a Republican. He doesn't believe in science.
Come on, don't make that statement.
Rocks
that's not true.
Falling into the ocean are causing the sea level to rise. That's Senator Mo Brooks from Alabama. He's also from Alabama, so let's acknowledge he's a product of the Alabama
school system.
Wow,
you're just hating right now.
Rocks falling into the ocean caused rising sea levels, not ice melting.
Let me be clear. If you subscribe to, you know, creationism or intelligent design as
be my guest,
one Diane Douglas, the state school superintendent, so be it. I have no problem with that. It's not science that should be taught in our children's
You don't get to teach
classrooms.
It in school.
And in fact, you could probably make an argument for being illegal.
Oh.
Separation of church and state.
Really?
And that governments don't have a subscribed religion. And when you go as a government entity, which is public school, if you want to teach this at a religious school, so that's fine. That's part of what you're getting when you go to an institution like that. That's absolutely fine. They play by different rules. But there have been arguments that this is illegal against the First Amendment. And in fact, there was a judge in Pennsylvania who ruled as such.
Yeah. You can teach your theology in a theology class.
Sure,
we teach
no
science in the science class.
I took several religious study classes at ASU.
Good for you.
Several.
Good for you. So Starbucks is attempting to navigate the world of public restrooms and the idea of, are they in business to sell coffee or are they just a really nice place to hang out that are warm or cold, depending on the temperature outside, and you can use the bathroom?
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Starbucks has found itself a bit of a cultural touchstone for a variety of reasons. I still think they ought to just call the place $5 because apparently every cup of coffee is $5. So I don't understand why we stopped at Starbucks. $5. I go, we're going to $5. Why? What do you mean? $5. It costs
everything
costs $5. I don't understand how it works. It doesn't matter what I order. But Starbucks has changed its policy in light of some of these controversies regarding who can or can't use the bathrooms.
Business partners Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson, both 23, were arrested on April 12th as they sat in a Philadelphia Starbucks after not buying anything and asking to use the restroom.
Well, what did they do? What did they do?
It was an embarrassing moment for the coffee chain. Video of their arrest sparked outrage on social media and accusations of racial bias. So Executive Chairman Howard Schultz said that Starbucks bathrooms will now be open to everyone, whether they're paying customers or not, saying, quote, we were absolutely wrong in every way. More than 8,000 U.S. locations will close on the afternoon of May 29th for racial bias training.
All right, so there was a letter sent out to employees on Saturday.
Got it.
And it says this, quote, any person who enters our spaces, including patios, cafes, and restrooms, regardless of whether they make a purchase, is considered a customer. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Mm. Some people are already reacting.
I've definitely done it, so I mean, I don't see a problem with it.
I mean, you could end up having like a squatter's problem almost, where you just have people coming and staying. I mean, if they're going to do that, they need to like limit how long people can stay in there.
You have people
in there with their laptop open. They look like they've been there for 6 hours.
You go into a business and you just sit there and you don't buy anything. You're taking up a space at the table.
Yeah, it's true, but it's happened.
I don't like when I go into Starbucks and I can't sit down.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
But none of these people are drinking. They're drinking coffee. They're all sitting there with like a laptop or reading a newspaper. I'm like, well, I just wanted to sit down and have my little muffin. And there's nowhere to go.
Their muffins are good.
The chocolate chip ones, by the way. And that discourages me from Starbucks. If Starbucks starts losing customers because of this, I think maybe their policy might evolve.
Okay. Well,
find out how the impact
it has. I think Starbucks would rather deal with that than fallout that happened in the Philadelphia.
Is Starbucks unique? I'm under the impression that most places do not open up the bathrooms to you if you don't do business with them. Pamela says they all do.
Well, I'm simply saying that if you're on a road trip somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And you pull into a McDonald's and you run in and use the bathroom. I mean, who amongst us hasn't done that?
But you go to a gas station and they have the key behind the counter.
No, what? Some do. Few do. Does it happen? Sure. But I don't think that's the overwhelming majority of them. And so the idea that you're just going to have squatters everywhere now
But Starbucks is, for whatever reason, people congregate there. It's become like the modern day equivalent of the town square.
So how does this change anything?
That Starbucks is basically, instead of even attempting to discourage people from lounging all day or using the bathroom without doing any commerce with them, they've opened the door and say, no, that's exactly what you can do. Come in, use the bathroom, sit down, don't buy anything.
But that's what they kind of wanted to be. They wanted to be like the town square where people would come and meet.
It's careful what you wish for.
Well, I mean, and we'll see how it plays out. But this whole idea that Starbucks is now going to be overrun with people who are just camping out. People were already camping out. People were already using the restroom when they hadn't purchased anything. Like they've done at McDonald's or whatever else, Burger King or Wendy's. It happens. And I just don't understand how this has become such a big deal because Starbucks is doing it. Is it because it is $5 and you're buying a high-end coffee, so we expect a different experience than we do from the dollar menu at McDonald's? Is that what it is?
The customers, and I don't know the answer to this, but the type of people who would spend $5 on a cup of coffee don't want to share their business with homeless
now
people
looking
for a bathroom and a place to sit down
now
and get out of the weather.
I think we're getting somewhere, Bruce.
My name's Andy. I'm from Peoria. My wife, when we used to live in California, worked at a Starbucks in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
The homeless people that tried to live there was always a big problem for them. And I've been to plenty of McDonald's where you have to ask for a token to get into the bathroom because they're very selective about who to get in the bathroom.
I have never once in my life had to get a token to go to a McDonald's.
You go to different restaurants than I do. Yeah, almost all the ones I go to, doors are locked. You have to get permission. You need a code. You need a key.
Okay, like how do we live such different lives?
I don't know. Yeah, but even the Starbucks, and I'm sure it's changed recently, but like when I go to California, all of them are locked. All the bathrooms are locked. All. Go to Venice. Yeah. Go to Santa Monica.
I haven't gone to Venice. I haven't gone to Santa Monica.
Literally, you can't find an unlocked bathroom.
Yeah, I go to the one in Kingman. Okay, a little different than the ones that you've just.
This is Pete from Gilbert, and Pamela was saying, what's the difference between McDonald's and Starbucks?
Yeah.
It's because Starbucks, people hang out there. They go there. They might stay there for hours $2 cup of coffee. So it starts becoming a lounge, and I can see where they're like, hey, move it along. We have a business to run here. It's not just a lounge for, you know, hipsters.
Yeah, but my question is, how does this policy change that? That has already been the standard.
But apparently they can't even go and make the conversation now. Is the idea now or the point that they can't even approach people and go, you've been here 4 hours.
Go home.
You go home now. You've been here for an hour. You go home. Thank you, John Panette, for that. But I mean, that they can't even approach it anymore? Or I was reading a tweet from someone said they were in New York City and there was a line of 10 people. He goes, if they weren't homeless, they were dressed as homeless people waiting to use the bathroom, and I couldn't use the bathroom in Starbucks.
We got another open mic call from New York City. Here's what this one has to say.
Hi, this is Sonia. I'm from Litchfield Park. I've been to New York City several times, and not only does Starbucks not let you use the restroom without paying and buying something, most establishments in downtown Manhattan, the touristy areas of New York City, do not open their bathrooms. Additionally, there are parts of Phoenix where homeless people will come in and basically camp out.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been to New York City.
Is this not in your backyard type thing?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Could be.
You know, I've been to New York City, and I get what the woman is saying there, where it is hard to find a bathroom in New York City. It is. But I think that's the exception and not the norm. And I don't think I live in this bubble that, you know, I only go to places where the bathrooms are unlocked.
All bathrooms in Gilbert are open to everyone at all time. And there is a... an attendant to hand you a towel.
You know what, Bruce? Contrary to popular belief, I do travel outside of the confines of Gilbert, Arizona. I travel all over, and I don't
take pictures of the bathrooms this weekend. I'll be in L.A. I'll take pictures of the bathrooms.
Thanks. Don't need to share them with
me. Here we go.
Don't really care what they look
like. Locked.
I'll videotape something about
everyone.
You.
They won't let me in.
Here comes Bruce. Lock the bathrooms.
I'm trying to pay $5 for a cup of coffee, for God's sakes. Something different. Does the school shooting Friday feel different to you? We'll talk about that and some of the ways people are reacting to it coming up next.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, we continue to look at, call it the fallout, the conversation, the discussion around the shooting Friday at Santa Fe High School. In Santa Fe, Texas, one that left 10 people dead, nearly a dozen people injured in some way, shape, or form. And here, there's some new information that we're learning now that we didn't know then. The shootout with the suspect lasted 25 minutes.
It's a long time.
Nearly a half hour of exchanging gunfire between law enforcement and the shooter who was barricaded inside of the school, inside of a classroom. According to the police records right now, officers arrived 4 minutes after the first shot was fired. That's a pretty amazing response time. It is unclear whether that was school resource officers on campus responding or officers away from that. That is unclear at this point. Here's something that stood out to me that made my stomach drop. It is unclear whether all the victims were shot by the suspect or whether some were shot by deputies during the crossfire. They said they are waiting medical examiner autopsies to make the final determination of who was struck by whom when you have a 25-minute running gun battle at a school.
You know what? Crossed my mind. Should have, because... One of the arguments I have consistently made against arming teachers is what's going to happen if and when a teacher shoots and kills a student by accident trying to defend the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Like, it'll break loose if and when that ever happens. I never thought of it in the capacity of like an SRO or an officer.
We have to wait for the final details.
No, I get it, but I've never thought of that.
It's certainly possible. It's certainly possible, you know, when you have, again, a 25-minute gun battle going on.
You know, I'm not proud to say it, but this shooting feels different for me. And not like Stoneman Douglas felt different. Stoneman Douglas felt different to me because of the momentum behind it. And I think a lot of that momentum came from the... brave young men and women who attended the school, who then spoke out against gun violence in the wake of Stoneman Douglas. And I mean, they were everywhere and they held a huge march and CNN had a town hall meeting and everything. This one feels a little different for me. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting desensitized to it. I sure hope not, but I'll at least entertain the possibility of it. Mm-hmm. because... It feels different, and not in a there's something massive that's going to come out of it. It feels different for me because it didn't bother me as much. And folks, really? I'm not proud to say that. I'm being honest. And I'm trying to figure out why. Because Vegas really bothered me. If you've been listening to the show, you know that. Texas church shooting really bothered me.
Horrible.
Stoneman Douglas really bothered me. So what is it about this one that didn't?
Are we? And everyone gets to that point at a different place, Pamela.
I hope not. I don't want it to be because I don't ever...
Are we becoming desensitized as these become normal in some way, shape,
and,
or form?
And I don't ever want to. And that's why I'm sharing it.
If one plane crashed a week, eventually people would stop, you know...
But nobody should ever get used to this. Nobody should ever
get used to
our children being gunned down and murdered where they're learning. We ask people on our open mic line... Does the shooting feel different for you?
Hmm.
Here's what they had to say, Bruce.
Hi, Tracy in Phoenix. Good morning, Pam and Bruce.
Hey.
I think what's different about this shooting is the weapon used.
Mm.
Handgun and shotgun.
Yeah.
Nobody's trying to vilify these weapons. These are commonly owned weapons in this country. It's not an AR-15 this time.
Okay, so along those lines, let's go with that a second.
Let's follow that.
So a lot of times, like in this case... I say kids, you know, he's a teenager, I get it.
Yes,
but
17.
Kids have access to the weapons that their parents have. I mean,
yes.
My dad had shotguns and rifles in the back of his closet. So those are very common weapons. I get that. You know, there may be no law that could have stopped what happened at Santa Fe High School, but that doesn't mean we can't do better. Parents who own guns need to take a look around and make sure they're doing better.
Okay.
Locking up those guns, keeping the guns separate from the ammunition. I'm not saying get rid of the guns. I'm saying do a little bit more to protect your kids against them.
So here's something I heard. I admit that maybe I haven't followed this all the way through in my head, so let me do this on the air with you. The father,
yes,
who owned the guns and apparently left them at least in a state that his son could get a hold of them. They were not the son's guns. They were dad's guns. What responsibility does he bear for allowing easy access to weapons that were used to kill 10 people?
Yeah, you know, the analogy that I would draw to that, Bruce, is if you're a parent and you allow your kid and your kid's friends to drink at your home.
Oh, you have like a kegger party.
Yeah, and they get sloshed at your home and then negligently... let them leave in their car and they end up hitting and killing someone, you can legally be responsible for that activity.
You can. You're right.
Should the same not be true for guns? We can have a lot of conversations about, is it violent video games? Can be a factor. Is it a breakdown in the family unit? Can be a factor. Is it bullying? Could be a factor. Is it mental health? Could be a factor. But you know what is a factor always and every single time? The gun.
The gun is the factor. There is a common thread. You'd be hard to argue against.
And, you know, I ran into our news director, Paul Eihander, during one of the breaks, and we were talking about this. And he said, you know what, we all like the sense of immediacy, getting things done now, gun legislation now. And he said, you've got to take into consideration that there have been several things that have been done in the wake of the Stoneman Douglas shooting.
Like?
For instance, you had Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods, two of the largest gun retailers in the U.S., announced that they were changing policy around the sale of firearms.
I remember.
You had a number of major companies that severed ties with the National Rifle Association. You had some state lawmakers propose stricter gun control legislation. I'm looking at Vermont here, and there's another one up there, I think Rhode Island.
So things are happening.
And then you've got gun control groups that have seen a surge in donations and volunteers. His argument, and it's a good point to make, is that some things are changing. They may not be changing as fast as we would like, but don't negate some of the
changes.
That
doesn't mean nothing's happening.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point.
But what fundamentally changes because of it? I'm not holding my breath. I'm just not. I'm willing to put everything on the table, but yeah. Difficult discussion rolls on. How long should bad men who have been caught up in the Me Too movement, how long do they need to sit on the sidelines? A lot of them are talking about making comebacks. We'll tell you that story after Pamela restores your faith in humanity, coming up next.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So, listen. We are a nation of second chances. There are plenty of people out there who have made horrible mistakes, paid a variety of penances for it, and have come back to lead normal, successful lives. The question is, should that apply to people like Bill O'Reilly, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Louis C.K., all men who were accused of, and in some cases admitted to, inappropriate behavior? What's the umbrella for this? I'm not trying to downplay it, but the Me Too movement, that they were sexually harassed, assaulted in some way, shape, or form, women, lost jobs because of it, were banished, blacklisted, whatever it might be, because all of these men are currently talking about comebacks.
Yeah, they're looking to make a comeback. And while you may want to believe in second chances for these guys, I don't. They haven't been held accountable for their actions. Not being able to host a TV show or open a restaurant or, you know what, have their social status from their high-paying jobs take a hit. That's not enough. Mm-hmm. And so in the court of public opinion, I still find them guilty. So, yeah, you know what? If you want to open up and have a cable network show that just has all of the hashtag Me Too predators.
Should they have
in
a whole
place,
channel, maybe?
Sure, go for it. You know what? Make sure you have a bunch of men that are running the teleprompters and the cameras and are producing, because I don't think that these guys should ever be in a position, they exploited women, and they should never be in a position where they have power over another woman's career again.
But we have seen examples of it in the past. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest that Bill O'Reilly may end up back on TV, or Matt Lauer might, or Mario Batali will open up another restaurant, or that Louis C.K. will do stand-up again, or have a movie, or that, Charlie Rose will get back on there. Because I was thinking about different examples, and there are some of them. You know what a good one was? Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer got caught up in that horrible, wasn't he paying prostitutes? He was caught with that and ended up getting his own show on CNN. I was like, well, apparently they're okay with that after a while.
But you've also,
like, is it just a matter of time and then people forget and you get to come back and say, I'm sorry, and off you go?
We've also brought up Michael Vick, right?
Michael Vick, NFL player, went to jail, went to prison.
And that was over dogs, right?
Over a dog fighting
yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact conviction, but I know it had to do with dog fighting.
So he should never be able to own a dog again.
I wonder if that's part of his...
But do you see what I'm saying?
I wonder if that's part of his sentence.
If your conviction or if your crime or if your
public downfall... But these people haven't been convicted.
That's part of the problem, too.
They haven't been convicted.
So they've never been rehabilitated. They've never paid that retribution.
They might not think they did anything wrong.
But what is... Okay, so they've never faced any legal consequences. They've never faced any legal consequences.
Innocent,
so I'm supposed to welcome them back? No,
you don't have to, but innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, not in my court of public opinion.
Pamela says she's here to restore your faith in humanity. Take it away.
Yes, I sure will. You know what? Today I want to introduce you to 10-year-old Eva. And Eva is in desperate need of a new kidney to live a bit of a normal life. Both of her kidneys started to fail. She started missing a lot of school. And story got around school about the battle that she was fighting. Now, Eva's in the fourth grade. And after all of her family went through the screening process to see if they were a good fit to give 10-year-old Eva a kidney, they didn't find anybody. So then there was a plea for a donor that went out on Facebook after nobody in the family was a viable option. Another fourth grade teacher, this isn't Eva's fourth grade teacher, but another fourth grade teacher at the school jumped in, got screened, and found out she was a perfect fit. She said giving herself to a random kid at her school turned out to be one of the easiest choices she's ever made. She said at her church, she had seen donors step forward to help two people in need of kidney transplants, and she wondered if this was the path that was also meant for her. She says, I felt like the door had just opened and I was supposed to walk through it. Now, Eva's mom says she still can't believe that someone who wasn't, you know, that wasn't even Eva's classroom teacher would be so selfless.
Right.
The principal at the school says, we talk about how we're family and how we're moms first before we're teachers. Boy, did this fourth grade teacher take that a step further.
That was outstanding.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Thank you. Restoring.
Eva says now she's going to have a little teacher DNA in her. So now she has to be a teacher.
Solid.
I love it.
Very good. Hey, might be one of the reasons why you think you've had your faith in humanity restored today. Thank you very much, Pamela. She ends the show on the high like that. You know what? We look through the double pane bulletproof glass. We see DJ Tommy Two-Tone over there, Super Brewster Stevie Z. Still unclear what the hell Michaela's been doing hanging out around us today. Peace up, A-Town Down. And Bob McClay, he's got news, traffic, weather, information, everything you need to know.